1 to 3 Friday nights on WBWC.
And we're back here on the Metal Command Show. Time now is 11:10, and we just heard something off Eternal Legacy's brand new album title track, Lifeless Alive. And of course, I do have guests in the studio. Let's start with this gentleman.
What's
over
up,
here.
Man? This is Sean from Eternal Legacy.
I'm and Sean
Jason
Stan.
Vanek.
I'm Sean's dad.
Dukaslow.
I'm Bill Vanek. Bill Peters.
Hi, I'm Jason Vanek.
Hi, I'm Tim.
Are they listening?
No, probably not.
They didn't want to come to the show with you.
Well, actually, they had a practice tonight.
Yeah, we were practicing, and then I left. I quit, and then I went down to Bill's radio station.
So you got a new record coming out here, and kind of tell us about your CD release show next week, and tell us about the new album.
Yeah, man, it's this album came together great in the end. It's, you know, we've been working on it for a while now, and it's just like until the end is where everything really fell into play. You know, we actually have we had a lineup change during the end of this, and then, you know, song wise, it's a more focused record, and I'm very excited for people to check it out once it comes out. But the CD release party is next Friday, the 27th. The album won't come out till December, but we will have it available at the show. It's free, so save that money and buy booze with it or something.
The show is free, not the CD.
Well, yeah.
That's cool. That's cool. You guys
steal it.
That's cool. You guys did a free show as well. I think that's really
you know,
awesome.
It's a CD release party. You got your friends coming to it. Why charge your friends? You know.
Yeah. I want to thank two Peabodys, Chris and Kimber, there for working with us and helping make this a free show.
Yeah. Awesome. Right. Awesome. So, you know, you just mentioned you had a lineup change, and, you know, maybe talk about your new. It's a new bass player, correct?
Yeah. Well, we had during the coming of the Tempest, the last record that we did, we had five members in the band, so we eliminated the keyboardist. Actually, what happened was the bass player, you know, we parted ways with the bass player, and the keyboardist, Spencer, took double duty. He did keyboards and bass, and then we, you know, kind of went on for a year with that, and then it just, you know, we're still good friends and all, but it just, you know, we decided to part ways. He had a lot of stuff going on, you know, with school and whatnot. And, you know, we have a lot of goals that we want to do musically. So we just decided to part ways with that. And the funny thing is about our new bass player is when we went to Europe in 2007 and did the Headbangers Open Air, my brother Steve and myself played with Wretch.
Mm-hmm.
And it was pretty much Wretch with Colin Watson on vocals. So it's Eternal Legacy with Colin Watson on vocals. And right after we got off stage, you know, we went to, you know, Tim came up to us, the bass player, and said, "Hey, man, that was a fun time jamming with you guys. You know, we got to do this again sometime." So that kind of turned into Eternal Legacy, I guess, down the road. So
awesome.
He's the full-time member now, and it just, he added a whole new pocket to our music. And you know, with this one and the next one, the next one especially, you'll be able to hear that. So it sounds killer.
Now, you guys did the production yourselves.
Yeah. Yeah, we did everything. I mean, it's, through the coming of the Tempest, you know, that album was kind of three demos put into one, you know, so in a way it was like not a focused album. You know, a lot of this, Jason and I wrote half that stuff. I was 14 at the time when some of that stuff was written. But with this new one, it's a more focused album, but we did 100% everything. We produced it, mixed, mastered, did everything. So we've, you know, over time we built up and got enough money to buy the stuff we needed. And, you know, it took a long time and a lot of flipping burgers for me for a while, but I managed to flip enough burgers to get some cash to buy some studio equipment. Well, my brother bought most of the stuff, but, you know, I bought a mic cable or so.
And, you know, you guys have a pretty good sounding record. You know, have you ever thought maybe about, you know, recording other bands?
Yeah, well, actually, we're recording one right now. They're playing with us at the CD release party, the band called Lower 13.
Okay.
They're young kids, you know, they're great, you know, they got some old school elements in their songs along with some, you know, newer, I don't want to say new school stuff, but it's a cool blend, you know, and they're very passionate about metal. They respect the old school stuff, and, you know, Jason and I are producing them, and it's coming along great. You know, we're really spending a lot of time. We told them, hey, money's not an issue right now. Let's just put out a good record, you know, and so far so good, you know. So I'm really looking forward to actually hearing their release. But
well, we got play another track off this upcoming record. It's track number 3.
Souls of Prey. Yeah.
Souls of Prey. So check it out. Here you go. And that is Souls of Prey by Eternal Legacy off their upcoming album, Lifeless Alive. Of course, they do have CD release party at Peabody's next week on November 27th. Starts at what time?
8 o'clock.
8 o'clock, and it is a free show.
It's going to be going all night, so.
8 to 1.
Yeah. It's going to be a giant metal, heavy metal party. So.
Yeah, well, Christie's is right down the street, too.
Oh, man.
You know, we could always
Well, those girls will all be in watching you, Sean. Yeah, I think it'll be deserted.
I've already made some contacts with that one.
I've seen your reaction in Germany.
We're making a stage set, so you know what that involves. Stripper poles, the whole nine yards.
You guys got to get those. Yeah, you guys got to get them. Those tombstones.
Oh yeah,
that Lick the Blade had. Those are sweet.
Oh yeah.
Those props.
Nice. Oh yeah, we
like, Gary and Alicia Ulmer.
Yeah, actually, I'm going over to his house tomorrow. To finish up the rest of our
They're
stage
the best.
Set. I do run a haunted yard. Uh-huh. Me and my buddy do, and they help do a lot of the props. And they've been in the business for a long time, the horror business with the haunted houses and all that stuff. They did the Jog Lake one, I think Painesville too. But yeah, they're helping us. They help Bill all the time with. Stage sets, but yeah, they do a good job. I've come up with some absurd stuff for them to make, and they're like, "Are you sure you really want to do that?"
Very talented.
Yeah. So, tell me, we were just talking about the album cover a little bit, and tell me about that. Who's doing the cover for you? And
well, on the last one, the last one and this one are two different artists. The last one was a guy by the name of Matthias Norin. He was a Swedish, was it?
Yep, Swedish artist. Yep.
Swedish artist. He did a lot of like Evergreys albums.
A lot of power metal.
Power, like Camelot and all that. But this guy, we wanted to go with a different guy, And we were just kind of scoping through. We had a lot. Actually, we were working with an original piece that we were originally going to have as the cover, but that's actually going to be in the booklet, but it's going to be in like the tray area or something. But the actual cover art was just some guy that we found. He's actually contacted me, man, I want to do something, tell me what you want me to do, and then he kept sending me different pieces.
Yeah. He was, he's from Germany. He's like a broker for artists. Yeah. And, he's like a middleman. So he hooked us up with Frank Fiedler, I think his name.
Mm-hmm.
And, the guys really liked the piece, and unfortunately, the one they picked out, another band, a death metal band from the U.S., already had it. Yeah. They already were going to take it. So,
that's right.
We waited, and the death metal band decided not to go with it after about a month or so, and then we took it.
Yeah, it worked out good. I saw that right away. I'm like, oh, that's cool. Yep, it looks sweet.
That was like the only one Sean liked.
I'm like, everybody's like showing me these sweet cover arts. I'm like, no, get it away from me. I want this one.
And this guy had like other designs, but Sean was like, no, it's got to be that one. Like, I'm like, that's the only one somebody's taken already.
Yeah. He had like this chick getting stabbed in the stomach with a sword. I was like, no, not that one.
I was looking online, and you actually endorse a specific brand of guitars. Maybe tell us
a little bit
about that.
I just this guy contacted me by the name of Gary Scott. He's actually right out of Parma. But he just kind of emailed me one day, and was like, hey, I hear you heard about Eternal Legacy somehow through a buddy or something. Somebody I knew, it was just like a circle, like Wayne's World. They tell their friends, and they tell their friends.
And so on. And so on.
But, he just contacted me, and then I just hooked up with them, and he originally wanted me just to do, videos, product videos, just to kind of show off his, what he's making and stuff. And it kind of turned into, I'm like, hey, dude, why don't we try this model? Because he's never made a V, and I'm a, huge fan of Flying V guitars.
Mm-hmm.
And he made me one. And the thing about his guitars is he's got a whole new innovative idea about it. Like, it's actually, my guitar don't have a truss rod in it, a metal truss rod. It's his own new concept, which is called a fishbone neck rod. And, and I remember being like, "Dad, there's no way this could work." And like, I've had this guitar for about a year now, and it's the neck. Well, first of all, the neck hasn't moved once, but the thing sounds amazing, And it's, but yeah, he's pretty much. I won't go back to any other guitars. The only guitar I'm gonna be playing from here on out. I love it.
Awesome. So we have, one little question for Bill. You signed these guys, and what was it about them that really interested you in signing them to the label?
I really missed working with younger bands, and since I've been working the label here in the 21st century, it's mostly been with either my older bands from the past that everyone knew or other older bands that never had released anything. So the thing I really missed about the label was working with younger, newer, unknown bands. I really enjoyed that. That was my favorite part of doing Auburn Records. And back in the 80s, Destructor, Breaker, Shock Paris, Purgatory, Black Death, all those bands were unknown when I started working with them. They were all, nobody had ever heard of them. They hadn't done many shows. So that was the opportunity. And these guys, they would call my radio show and they just kept asking for advice. And, you know, I always help bands any way I can, whether I'm directly working with them or not. And they just kept calling and calling. They just seemed like such nice guys. And they were just running into, you know, some bad luck and some bad characters in the music business. Yep. Just the things, you know.
There's plenty of those.
We all know.
We got stories.
And I felt sorry for them. I thought, you know, and eventually it got to the point where they kept asking
your
me for advice.
Your music sucks, but that's okay. I'll help you out.
They kept asking me for advice, and I finally said, you know what? I'll tell you what. I'll just put your record out. Let's just get you started, you know. Yeah. And, man, I just really enjoyed working with them. They're just such nice kids and
Do you plan on, like,
Sean wasn't even born when I started Auburn Records. We just discovered that tonight, right?
Yeah.
Unfortunately, I was born.
25 years. It's like, I wasn't even born, man. I'm not even 25.
And so is that something you plan on doing? I mean, you looking for any young bands and stuff like that?
Yes,
you
know? I would like to. Lick the Blade and Eternal Legacy are two of the newer projects I've started. Mm-hmm. But, I definitely am interested in that. That's what I love doing, you know, getting the bands, getting them started and then so they can go on to the next level. I don't want to hold anybody back. Mm-hmm. I want to see them go, you know. And it's really great starting. And I can share my knowledge and my expertise and, you know, all the years I've been doing this and help these guys out. You know, taking them over to Germany a couple of years ago, man, that was just a great experience for them.
Yeah. Yep.
And the next time they go, they're going to know so much more. And,
I mean, it's cool. It's just, it's not like a normal record label experience. And that's the thing. And it's like, who cares, man? It's about, it's everybody's just like a family, you know? Everybody's close. It's not like, oh, you got to call this guy in Florida or we got a guy here in California we got to talk to make some kind of deal or whatever. I mean, it's just like everybody's here. We hang out, you know, party together and do whatever. So it's just like, it doesn't feel like we're a part of some kind of business entity. You know what I mean? We just have a good time and just play metal and kick it.
It's what it's all about, man.
Oh, yeah.
That's what it's all about.
You know, we're all really happy with it. I mean, and it's just amazing for us to see somebody who knows so much about metal to actually take upon our music, you know, and like it.
And to me, too, I mean, there's a lot of history behind the label, a lot of history, experiences and stuff that Bill's been through. And, you know, reading back on a lot of it, it's very interesting stuff. I mean, some of the bands that you put out and everything like that. So,
or some of the bands I didn't put out. Like, you know, I think a lot of people don't even know I worked with Jag Panzer for over a year and a half.
Really?
There's a lot there. I should write a book.
Dude, we should just do an Auburn Records show one day.
Yeah. Play all the Auburn stuff, you know what I mean?
Play all the Auburn, go into the history. But it's very interesting history, though. It really is. And, you know, living in Cleveland my whole life and everything like that, it's very interesting stuff to talk about. So we got track number 6 here. And
This one's called Misery's End. It's another heavy tune. This one goes out to my buddy Chris. I hate you.
That's Misery's End by Eternal Legacy off of the newest upcoming album, I guess you'd call it, Lifeless Alive. And, of course, I do have Bill Peters and Sean Vanek here in the studio. You know, Sean, you know, you've been playing guitar for quite a while. And, you know, kind of talk about how you started playing and, you know, where'd you learn your chops at, man? I mean,
you know, it was, I think my first experience when I bought Britney Spears, her first album came out. I was, like, really inspired. No, you know what? I remember what got me started was my uncle had this huge record collection, and I remember he had Scorpions' Blackout.
He had Angel albums.
Angel.
Remember,
Angel. He had Centurion.
Yeah, well, Centurion with Dave Felton from Mushroomhead.
Yeah, I can't believe it.
That's actually worth some money.
I talked to Dave the other day. I'm like, you want to know what's funny, man? He's like, I have a Centurion record. He's like, who? I'm like, Centurion. He's like, are you serious, dude? That was my high school band. No way. Nah, but, I would dig in through his record collection. He had Sabbath. He had a lot of good old school stuff on there. So I just started listening to that and then just kind of noodling around with the guitar. And I don't know. I would just listen to albums and just kind of learn just stuff off of playing. I loved playing along with Iron Maiden albums. I remember the first time I discovered Iron Maiden.
Blaze Bailey?
Yeah.
Your daddy.
No, it wasn't Factor X. Or I don't even know the names of those albums. But I went to the library because I had a school report or something. And I remember going through the CDs and seeing the cover of Peace of Mind. I'm like, dude, this band's got to be cool. You know what I mean? It's got this skeleton guy in there in a straitjacket. And I brought the CD home, and it was like one of those enhanced CD that you could put onto the computer. I remember putting that in, and I was like, wow, that's awesome. And I just, ever since, just learned all that Maiden stuff.
For me, it was Power Slave.
Yeah. Well, that was Power Slave was next.
The Egyptian cover got me.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And then just after that, it was just, you know, I really was getting really heavily into music. You know, I found out about Iced Earth, and then that led me into all the, you know, the Blind Guardians and all that stuff, too. Yep. And then I really got into, like...
Where did Britney Spears fit in?
Oh, you know, I just had this fascination.
Oh, don't answer that question.
We won't talk about that. That's kind of my secret thing that I do every night. It involves polling a little bit, you know? I'm just joking. But, just after that, and I just, you know, I studied at the Cleveland Institute of Music for a little bit and kind of got a little bit of classical background, then kind of got out of it for a little bit and just done self-studying and then gotten to teach. To be honest with you, I don't know how I learned half the stuff. I just got really into it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I just went through phases where I'm like, I want to learn this. I said to myself, you know, I want to learn to be able to do anything, you know, play whatever style.
Yeah.
But then found that metal is just something I really enjoy playing the most, you know. I can't get sick of it ever. You know, playing classical and jazz, I get sick of it really quick.
Yeah.
You know, it's fun to play for 5 minutes, but with metal, it's like, dude, the more you play it, the more you get into it. So it's, you know.
So after this release party that you're having on the 27th next week, you know, what do you guys got planned? I mean, you got any shows coming up?
Yeah, I mean, we have a lot of stuff in store. We're really just trying to, you know, we're going to promote the heck out of this album and, you know, just play as much as possible. That's, you know, that's kind of the reason why with Spencer, you know, we kind of parted ways is because he was very limited as far as playing goes. And with the new guy and just with our attitudes, they're all the same. We just want to play as much as we can, you know. Not too much, but just play, just to, because we love doing it. We feed off. I feed off it, you know. That's why I play in 50 million bands is because I have to play. You know, if I don't play, I don't know what to do with myself. You know,
there actually was an Auburn show about a week or so ago where Sean was not in a band.
Yeah, emailed you. I'm like, Bill, I'm kind of like
the Blade CD release show.
I'm like, Bill, this is weird because I'm coming to the show, but I'm not playing. What's going on here? And Bill's like, you know what? We'll set up a third stage, and you can pull out your acoustic guitar. I'm like, all right, no. I'll take one night off. It's okay. You know?
Hey, at least you got to wear Ted's Jason mask.
Before he wore it, I hope.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, he threw it out, and I'm like, okay, what the heck?
I'll put it on.
And that was actually, it was a pretty good showing. It was a very good, I thought the release party went very well. So.
That was good for a Sunday night.
At the Hi-Fi.
Yeah.
It's
called the Breakfast Club now.
Was that what it's called
as
now?
Of tomorrow, yeah.
Really?
Changing her name.
Why?
Well, Billy Morris is co-owner, and he plays in a band called the Breakfast Club.
Oh, okay. I was going to say. So, oh, yeah. That's right.
They're going to add food, and they're getting a little more fancy inside. I think they put some
I was going to say,
in.
What does it have to do with breakfast?
I don't know.
It's a nightclub, isn't it?
Oh, my God. So that's cool. You guys you're going to have some stuff coming up and everything like that.
Yeah.
Again,
you know, I think the CD release party, the cool thing about this show is it's real. I mean, people are going to see a whole, not totally different side, but it's a totally new energy with the band. And I think there's really something special here. You know, it's like something we've never had. You know, when we wrote Metal Anvil and Shadow Revolution on the last album, when it was Mercenary, there was something cool that was there. And I think with this new album and just with the chemistry with the new band, there's like that's back. It's like there's something magical.
I kind of guided the band into that direction. I mean, you know, they did it themselves, but I mean, I saw that they were really good at playing that kind of music, you know, the heavier stuff. And I wasn't forcing them to get away from the power metal stuff that they were kind of drifting towards too at one time. But I just thought, man, these guys sound great doing this heavier stuff.
Mm-hmm.
This is really what they should be doing. And lo and behold, I didn't know them before, but that's what they were doing before I met them in a band called Mercenary.
Yep.
So they went back and revisited a bunch of these old songs. I remember Sean giving me these old demos from Mercenary, and I was going through them all going, wow, this song is great. This song is great. So they pulled a lot of those out and kind of reworked them.
The funny thing was is that Coming of the Tempest was going to come out without Shadow Revolution and Metal Anvil. Those were the best two songs. I mean, those were the most well-received songs that we had, or, you know, and it's just amazing how it came together because he made us realize, well, wait a second. What is going on? Why aren't we playing those songs?
Yeah.
You know, we didn't realize how good they actually were. Yeah. You know, it was a phase thing, you know, yeah, that we kind of went through. But now it's like we're focused. You know, before it's like with the Tempest, there was a lot of good stuff, but it wasn't really a focused album. And I think now it's like, okay, here's what you guys are really good at. And mm-hmm, especially playing over Europe, we really got to see what people really liked. And even, you know, without people liking it, we love it. You know, we right, love playing those songs. So it's like, that's what the energy, you know, we're all about energy when we play. You know, we make sure the show is jam-packed with people running around breaking stuff, you know. not a guy standing up there strumming his guitar, you know what I mean? It's yeah, just like, you know, of course I've broken guitar in Europe. Yeah, that was a fun time. You know, I hit some dude in the head and he passed out and got back up and was like, yeah, dude, right!
And it finally came out on video this year. Actually, they yeah, released it. And they included Sean in the bonus footage with smashing his guitar.
Yeah, it was awesome. I mean, when I saw that, I'm like,
your very first guitar, yeah, right?
You know what? That was an expensive guitar, too. Oh. And I've had people come up to me after the show, that was awesome what you did, but why that guitar? That was yeah, a nice guitar. I mean, it was like it was probably an $800, $900 guitar.
Yeah. You know, we couldn't get video footage of that. I tried for like a year or so. And then this year, the festival ended up releasing a video mm-hmm, of last year's show, which they did not play, but they included an extra disc of bonus stuff. And I was like, oh my God, I can't believe it. They included Sean's guitar smashing. We finally have it on video.
Yeah. Oh, man. I mean, it's just classic. I mean, that just shows you how diehard those European fans are, though.
Yeah.
You throw like a piece of big chunk of wood at them in their head, and they'll fall over and get back up bleeding, going, yeah, it was awesome.
So we have a reputation in Germany, Auburn bands, of destroying things on stage. Yeah, Destructor and Wacken destroyed a keyboard, and Sean destroyed a guitar. It's quite an expensive trip for me going overseas. Yeah.
Well, it's a whole different ball game when you go over there, let me tell you.
The thing is now, when you fly now, it's like you have to pay $20 extra to carry, you know, another piece of luggage. And I'm like, you know what? I don't need another guitar to take back. It's going to cost me more. Whatever, I'm just going to break it. I left the case there, too. Yeah.
What kind of guitar was it?
It was an Ibanez. It was like one of those, like, it was a RG550 or something. But I put a lot of work into that. I remember I had the guy who built or, you know, does all my, you know, setups and everything was working on it. And I remember when I told him, like, yeah, I hate to say this, dude, but kind of smashed that guitar. He's like, what? You know, I mean, as far as what I put into it, I put a lot of money into that guitar. So it was definitely an expensive piece, but I don't care, man. It's all about the moment and the stories. You know what I mean? Who cares about the guitar? I'll worry about that later. You know, I brought two, luckily, because we had another show after that. And for a while, I'm thinking, wait a second. Uh-oh. I hope I don't break a string or something. That's not going to be good, you know?
Yeah.
But it worked out, you know?
It's awesome. So we do have another track off the record. You know, what's track four?
Yeah, Abaddon.
Oh, Abaddon. Okay.
Yeah.
Cool.
You can do that. And again, this record, I think it really turned out very well. You know, a lot of bands, you go to producers, but a lot of people are doing it themselves. And, sound quality, second record out, man. I mean, very good stuff.
Very talented. He's got a lot of potential to do this for a living.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, he's got a great... I mean, the thing is about recording is you can have the best equipment in the world, but if you don't have the ear, you can't do it.
And if you don't know how to use it.
Yeah, I mean, it's like I talked to so many people who have, like, all this SSL boards, all these, like, real nice gear, and it's like I hear their products, and it's like, dude, what is going on, you know? But he's got a very good ear, and he's very particular about his mixes. And just, I mean, this album, that's why I said the mixing stage took so long. The recording process, we were done like a year ago, mm-hmm, you know, but the mixing took so long because he was so particular. And it turned out, you know, with him and Bill going back and forth, you know, because Bill's got a lot of experience and he knows what sounds good. And so, you know, Jason has an idea, but it's good to have that other ear. And it came out great, you know. So,
Lost But Not Alone by Eternal Legacy off the upcoming album Lifeless Alive, and then, of course, Abaddon before that. I almost mispronounced that. You know what I'm saying?
Abandon. We've had that before.
That's a Vicious Rumor song.
Yeah.
It is. Yeah. It is. Abandon off of Welcome to the
Wall.
That's
a good tune, too.
That's a great album.
Yeah, we covered it. Actually, you'll find our REO Speedwagon cover on
weren't
there.
Weren't you in that band?
Jesus. Yeah. Oh, yeah. I was in Metallica, too.
Oh, man.
Just for a second.
So, again, we have the CD release party, 27th. At Peabody's, 8 o'clock. A lot of great bands playing on it. Yeah. And Definitely, it's a free show, and they could buy the album there. And
yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's a show you don't want to miss. I mean, like I said, we're gonna pack that place in. We usually have really good turnouts for
Eternal Legacy. Always draw well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, and it's like, you know, because we try to have a good time. You know what I mean? So it's like, you know, we make it fun for everybody. So, yeah, it's definitely a show you don't want to miss. You know, there'll be beer there, of course.
Lots of girls.
What would it be like without that?
You know what I mean? That's
girls
what I was
and beer.
Thinking
what
about
more
there.
Can you ask for as a metal fan?
That's great.
The world would not be a good, or the metalheads would be terrified if there was no alcohol at a show. Remember that pit that they had that was at that venue called the Pit? Well, they didn't have alcohol at the venue. They served coffee.
Oh, right.
That was weird, man. Everybody was kind of tripped out.
It wasn't the kind of coffee you had in Amsterdam, though, was it?
No. Oh, yeah. Okay. That's another story in itself, man.
A road trip.
don't touch some of that.
That's pretty good. So this is actually, what's the actual release date for the record?
It actually comes out December 7th.
December 7th?
Yeah. You just need a little time to get it out to the distributors and stuff. So you can buy it first, though, November 27th. And we always sell our stuff for very reasonably priced. And,
yeah, just
and
like the
band's going to have some new merch.
Just like the Kiss album, we're going to put a little love gun in the booklet.
A little love gun? Hey, you know, you should just make action figures of yourselves.
Yeah, there you
Might
go.
Might as well do that.
We'll start making crappy movies, too, besides Detroit Rock City, you know.
That was pretty funny.
No, Detroit Rock City was great.
Yeah,
I love
that.
That
was a pretty funny
movie. But what was that one that they did in the 80s or 70s or whatever?
Oh, man,
it was terrible.
Someone's getting a text message.
Yeah, it was me.
Sean said something bad.
Well, anyway, I'm going to end off the interview here. We're going to go in the news in a few seconds. But, you know, I'd like to thank Sean for coming out.
Yeah, thank you.
And
wait,
thank
did you come out?
I thought you liked girls.
Nice one, Bill.
Coming
right.
Coming to the show and everything like
thank
that.
You.
Again,
thanks for inviting us, Tony.
Yeah, thanks
great.
A lot. Appreciate
we appreciate it.
Anytime.
We really do.
Yeah, and next time you guys have something going on, then, you know, we'd love to have you on again. So,
well, actually, we'll be here next. No.
All right, man. Well, tell you what. Here it is. I'm going to go to the news, and it was great having you guys on.
Right on, dude.
Thank you.
Peace.